The Whole Health Cure with Dr. Sharon Berquist, the podcast that brings you inspiration and skills for living a healthy and fulfilled life.
Welcome to the Whole Health Cure podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Berquist. On this podcast, we explore the science and provide inspiration and skills for living your happiest, most fulfilling, and healthiest life. Today, I'm honored to be joined by Dr. Liana Leonov on the very important topic of positive psychology. Dr. Leonov is an innovative leader in lifestyle medicine and has advanced the movement in the United States and internationally. She currently serves as the chair of the Happiness Science and Positive Health Committee of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, lead faculty for the American College of Lifestyle Medicine Physician and Health Professional Well-Being Program, Vice Chair of the American Board of Lifestyle Medicine and President of the Positive Health and Wellness Division of the International Positive Psychology Association. She's also the lead faculty for the first of its kind intensive lifestyle medicine physician curriculum sponsored by American College of Preventive Medicine and American College of Lifestyle Medicine. For this program and related work, Dr. Leonov received the 2015 Distinguished Service Award from the American College of Preventive Medicine. She is the lead author for the 2010 publication in the Journal of the American Medical Association unveiling the Lifestyle Medicine Core Competencies for Physicians developed by a national blue ribbon panel of health professional organizations, which she chaired. Dr. Leonov is past president of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, a past board region of American College of Preventive Medicine, and former Healthy Lifestyle Division Director for the American Medical Association. She previously directed a number of heart disease and stroke prevention, cancer detection, other chronic diseases, and mental health services programs at the California Department of Health Services. Her leadership of the inaugural National Summit on Happiness Science in Healthcare, her publications, including the groundbreaking book, Roots of Positive Change, Optimizing Healthcare with Positive Psychology, and presentations are spearheading the integration of positive psychology interventions in healthcare. Dr. Leonov, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for that detailed introduction.
Well, it speaks to all the tremendous work that you've done in this area. Liana, I want to start by asking you to define the term positive psychology.
Yes, so positive psychology was developed by Martin Seligman. He coined the term positive psychology at a time when the psychology community was mainly focused on how to help people deal with negative emotions and mental illness, etc. And he said, wow, you know, that there's so much more to what we can do for ourselves in terms of thriving and flourishing. And that gave birth, this was, I believe, in around the 80s, to a new scientific field, the scientific study of human flourishing, and that is the definition of positive psychology. It's also the study of using your strengths and virtues to enable yourself and your community to thrive. And so it really does go well beyond treating mental illness, goes beyond managing stress, coping and resilience. It's all of that. It contributes to all of that, but it goes beyond that, where we can really be our best selves and be happier and healthier.
And, you know, I think we all want to be able to do that. So what are the basic, like, kind of buckets or principles if you broke down positive psychology?
Yeah, one really easy way to remember that is actually a framework that Dr. Seligman put together, and it's five pillars, and the acronym is PERMA. Easy to remember. And so the P stands for positive emotions, E stands for engagement, R for relationships, M for meaning and life purpose, and A for accomplishments and achievements. So to delve into that just a tiny bit more, positive emotions can be anything that we do, going out in nature, going out to the beach, anything, doing a hobby that just gives you that emotional boost. And it can be meaningful or not meaningful. Sort of going to a party may not be meaningful, but it makes you happy. So that's the P. E is engaging in activities that challenge you, but not too much, so that you are confident that you can do that activity. But it's so engrossing because you're so focused on it and enjoying it so much, you totally lose track of time and space, and you're one with that activity. It can be a hobby like gardening, it can be doing art, making music, doing movement. And that concept is called flow, having that sense of flow or engaging with your environment. And that's a wonderful source of positive emotions. And then the R is most important. It's relationships. And we want to be always connecting on a regular basis with people that are important to us, as well as everyone in our environment. And then M, life meaning and purpose, is on a regular basis. We need to be cognizant of what we're doing that is truly meaningful to us. And that's different for every person. So as long as you feel that on a regular basis, you're doing something meaningful, terrific, an absolutely important part of this thriving construct. And then last but not least, A, accomplishment, achievement. In the positive psychology community, they are really recommending that we become aware of our personal strengths. And there's an area of personal strengths called signature strengths. And I'll give a resource before we wrap up today where you can learn how to discover your strengths. And the idea is to be able to use your strengths on a regular basis to achieve your goals. And it really help you move forward and advance your life goals, your dreams, and have a sense of accomplishment there. And so that model, that PERMA model, an easy acronym to remember, if you can try to do a little bit in each of those buckets, it will go a long ways to boosting your positive emotions. And then just some other simple examples, just very simple examples that are studied in positive psychology are just practicing gratitude and acts of kindness. So I needed to throw those in. But there are many, many ways to boost positive emotions, but we actually do have a lot of research about how gratitude and acts of kindness are just so very good for your happiness and health.
Leanna, I think sometimes to really understand the importance of positive psychology, it's helpful to know the hurdles or obstacles people face trying to achieve positive psychology. Because, you know, when you look at a lot of national statistics, you see areas where people are struggling. For example, you know, Gallup and ShareCare do a well-being index. And, you know, in 2017, for example, every state showed a decline, even at a time where there's economic prosperity. So even in good times, there is the seeming challenge to getting, you know, life satisfaction and happiness and joy. What are, in your mind, like some of the hurdles and obstacles, like even though this is such a wonderful goal, you know, I think we all want to be thriving, you know, what is keeping us from getting where we are to where we could be?
That's a great comment. And in our society, many people feel disconnected, maybe a feeling of emptiness, perhaps just overwhelmed. It's a challenge when we have busy lives, we have families, we have work, we have so many responsibilities, and we're also trying to be healthy and do what we can for our physical health, eating right, being physically active. And sometimes in all of that shuffle, just taking even a moment to think of ourselves and what will support us emotionally gets lost. And my recommendation to folks who are listening is that it doesn't need to take a lot of time. A lot of it has to do with a shift in perspective, more paying attention, even just a minute here and there throughout the day. How am I feeling? Having some self-compassion, and embracing all of our feelings, including the negative ones. And I should say that we're talking about positive psychology. It doesn't mean that positive psychology is saying everybody's got to be positive all the time, or kind of Pollyanna, or all these kind of empty positive affirmations. It's embracing the fact that we're human, embracing the fact that we all experience all kinds of emotions, anxiety, fear, stress, particularly like during these times of a pandemic and everything that has been happening around the world, and listening to bad news. It's important to be okay with that sometimes we'll feel down, but then at the same time, be able to say, well, is there one little thing I can do today for myself to boost even just a few moments of joy, and bring that joy and those positive emotions into my life, like just being thankful for my family, my friends, thinking about something kind that someone else has done for us, or reaching out to others and having that sense of satisfaction that we're contributing to their well-being, and many of these other kinds of activities that I was just talking about in that model. And again, a lot of it is just reframing in our minds, and that goes a long way. And we just forget that. We just, it's so busy, and it's a tough society right now around that kind of just being still with yourself, even for a moment. So hopefully this positive psychology movement will make it okay to take care of ourselves in this way.
And Leanna, besides, you know, feeling good when we have positive emotions and when we're in the flow and having positive relationships, how does that impact us physiologically?
Great question. So when we have positive emotions, we do these activities that boost our positive emotions, what it does is it counteracts that fight or flight and stress response that we often have as we're busy throughout the day. And so the sympathetic nervous system is the fight or flight response. And what we want to do is engage the other part of our nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, and that's what positive emotions do. And when we engage that parasympathetic nervous system, which is also called tend and befriend instead of fight or flight, then we are lowering our blood pressure, we are lowering our glucose and cholesterol levels and all kinds of physiologic benefits. There's also a thing called heart rate variability, which is a good thing for us. And all of that happens physiologically to really get at some basic biomarkers and physiologic changes that are related to all kinds of things that could be bad for us, but we've turned it around. So it helps us eventually in the long run, if we do this regularly enough, boosting our positive emotions, boosting our parasympathetic nervous system, we're less likely to have strokes and heart attacks and many other conditions.
Right. So even though it seems as though day to day, if we carve out a little bit of time, it seems momentary, but really it's having a far longer lasting effect.
Exactly. So even these little moments can have exactly that kind of long standing effect. And sometimes just knowing that, oh my gosh, I don't have to be doing these kinds of activities, you be positive throughout the day, because that's just overwhelming. Just knowing that just dedicating even a couple of minutes here and there will make a huge difference, may get people to say, okay, wow, this is something that's feasible, that's realistic for me, even in my life that is so over full. There's guaranteed a little bit of room for moments of joy. And I also want to say that for people who are possibly struggling with some mood disorders, like struggling with depression or bipolar or many other mental health conditions, that this positive psychology, it can actually add to whatever they're doing to help with their mental health. It's an overlay that works in a different part of the brain. So even if you're taking medications, for example, for depression, those medications are working in one part of the brain, but doing these kinds of activities that boost positive emotions help in a different part of the brain, and they work together to help you both mentally, emotionally, well, and physically.
Yeah, that's great. And I want to talk a little bit more about the parasympathetic nervous system, because I think a lot of people are very familiar with sympathetic nervous system, as you said, the fight or flight, the kind of stress mode that kind of narrows really the way we think, right? We either fight, so we're aggressive and maybe angry and snap at people, or we flight, right? We get totally dissociated and disengaged when we're in the stress mode. When we are operating more out of our parasympathetic nervous system, so if we use positive emotions to activate that part of our nervous system or really negate the fight or flight response, what are ways that that impacts our thought process and our actions?
Yes. So our thoughts, our actions, and our feelings are all interconnected. And it's kind of a round robin. And sometimes if we can reframe our thoughts, we can have positive actions. Like if we reframe our connection to, okay, I'm going to be more physically active, and we do it, we will it, that's great. But sometimes we can't will ourselves to change our thoughts. We can't will ourselves to change our feelings. But we start wherever we can. Again, our feelings lead to certain actions. Those actions can lead to certain thoughts and feelings, and around we go. So in a positive psychology, my positive psychology world, oftentimes I say part of a healthy habit is to just do a few activities that are very concrete that will naturally boost your emotions, rather than, okay, I'm going to feel positive now, which may be very difficult to do. So instead, if you're slumped over your computer, if you're working all day, or if you're stressed, if you just take a minute to just look outside the window, enjoy a beautiful blossom or a beautiful tree, and all of a sudden, you know, you're taking this very tiny action that is now either boosting your emotions or you're actually just changing your thoughts. You're all of a sudden thinking about what a beautiful color that blossom is. And it's you pulling you out of that physiologic cycle that's so bad for you. Also, with these positive emotions, if we can have them while we're doing healthy habits, like we're enjoying a wonderful healthy meal or being physically active, that our brain unconsciously then wants to go back to that. So it also reinforces our health habits by having these positive emotions. And so all of that is interrelated.
That's really great. You know, I'm glad you mentioned some of the concrete ways, because I think a lot of times, you know, people think they have to control their thoughts and emotions, right? So if they feel stressed, and they tell themselves, don't stress, which, you know, as we know, doesn't really work. There are far more effective techniques for breaking out of a stress cycle. I want to talk a little bit about kind of those little tools and like skill sets and tools that we can use to incorporate and adopt more of a positive psychology approach to our life.
Yeah, the tools are ones that are common sense. They are paying attention to how you're feeling. And if you're not feeling as well as you'd like to, or just very stressed, to change attention, to redirect your attention to something else, even if you can't think of anything positive, just even something fairly neutral. And it might be, for example, we use these kinds of techniques of people with chronic pain, and maybe they can't will themselves to totally ignore the chronic the pain, let's say it's lower back pain, but all of a sudden we're asking them, okay, how about if you just focus on how the back of the chair and the coolness of the back of the chair feels against your leg. And that's a very neutral change in attention, but all of a sudden they're focused on that rather than their pain. So a change in focus is an important tool. Having the capacity to also just allow yourself the full range of emotions, but then see if you can do one thing a day, whether it is just practicing some gratitude towards, showing some gratitude towards someone, or just thinking about something that's happened was unexpected that day, or even just reframing questions with people you interact with. That's an important skill and tool, I would say, that in our interactions, we ask people what's gone well for them. And all of a sudden that redirects the conversation a little bit and adds some positivity in the conversation. So just attention and words, whether it's with others or self-talk, are very simple tools at our fingertips that get us to refocus towards the positive emotions.
Oh, that's really good advice. So, you know, again, reframing, I think that's really powerful, as you just said, in terms of changing our focus and attention, and then practicing gratitude as, you know, one of within our range of emotions. In terms of, you know, in that PERMA model that you mentioned, the PERMA, one of the most challenging, as it would seem to me, is helping people find meaning and purpose. You know, I think it's so overarchingly important, and certainly different cultures put even more of an emphasis on it than we do, you know, here in the Western world. But for people who are really searching for their purpose, and I think a lot of people would probably identify with that, are there exercises, tips, tools that can help people find that inspiration to bring out their best?
Well, it's a good question, and a very simple thing that one can ask is, ask themselves, is when am I at my best? When am I feeling in the groove, if you want to use that word? Look back throughout your life, throughout your personal life, your professional life, how you spend your time, and usually something will bubble up. There'll be a pattern or a theme throughout your life where there's a certain kinds of activities and engagement that really made you feel happier and more energetic. And possibly somewhere in there is the answer to, it was meaningful. And how was it meaningful? What exactly about that was aligned with what I would consider a life purpose or life meaning? And then how can I engage in that again? If it's been a long time since you've done that kind of activity, is there a way to start doing that again? It's just a little bit of reflection and asking the right questions. I should say that there is such a thing as purpose anxiety. So people can get quite anxious about not having a sense of purpose or meaning. And so to the extent that we can, again, embrace that, sometimes it's natural to have that, and embrace that and say, okay, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to just pay attention. And if I don't have an answer right now, I'll keep revisiting when am I at my best? And maybe as you move forward through life, just paying a little attention, the answer will come to you.
You know, what's so interesting about that is that our subconscious brain really already knows where our purpose and meaning is, because so much of our emotions, our ability to feel good about something, feel excited or really in the flow, comes from, you know, our emotions that we attach to the things that we're doing. And I think getting our cognitive, our thinking brain aligned with our emotions to really understand what's getting us excited is really challenging.
It is, yes. So our thinking brain and our emotions don't always align. And this just brings to mind something I'd like to share, that as we're talking about positive psychology, that there are two pieces of this field and two pieces to think about for ourselves. And as you said, there's the cognitive brain, the thinking brain that looks at our lives and says, how satisfied am I with my life? You know, how meaningful is it? How close is it to my ideal? And that uses our prefrontal cortex of our brain to evaluate. And maybe there'll be a time in our lives when we're not quite so satisfied from sort of that thinking part of the brain. But even during those times, we can do a few short activities like practicing gratitude, kindness, talking to a close friend that boost our positive emotions. So the positive emotions are using the amygdala part of the brain, and that's a separate part of the brain. So sometimes, even when we're in a stuck in a life situation that's not so good, we've just lost our job, or the life situation that perhaps is happens during a massive pandemic with so much in chaos. That perhaps refocusing from the overall evaluation to just the moments of positive emotion can help us through till we get to a point where we can continue our lives in a more positive way and evaluate that we are satisfied with our lives.
Yeah, that's really good advice to kind of use our emotional brain to reshift, if you will, our thinking prefrontal cortex and get us out of a negative thought pattern. I think we probably could leverage that a little bit more.
Absolutely, yes. So just because we look at our lives and say, my life isn't so good right now, I doesn't mean we should give up on these kinds of techniques and give up on positive psychology. In fact, that's when we need it the most, is to use these tips of refocusing towards some moments of joy and a feeling of thriving, even if it's just for a moment.
It's probably helpful to point out that these tips and tricks, you're not fooling yourself, you're just enabling yourself to bring out your best.
Exactly. So this is not a Pollyanna kind of thing, like if I just affirm things are good, then they'll be good. It has to be come from a genuine, authentic place, number one. By reminding yourself that we, each of us has internal strengths, and that's why the signature strengths and personal strengths is such an important part of positive psychology. Reminding us that we have that can then bring out a genuine feeling that, yes, there is something positive about me in my life, even if perhaps my whole environment at a particular point in time isn't the way we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Liana, with all your experience working in positive psychology, what would you say is the most important activity one can do to promote mental, emotional, and physical well-being?
Well, of all of those kinds of activities we talked about and in that PERMA model, the R, right in the middle, relationships, is absolutely the most important. And there have been some amazing studies, one out of Harvard, the Harvard Adult Development Study, that actually followed inner city low-income boys with Harvard Ivy League boys over many decades, over 8+ decades. And asked them all kinds of questions about what was happening to them, even did some physical evaluations, physical exams. And so they had all kinds of information about these boys and followed them over time and followed what happened to them in terms of illness, in terms of how long they survived. And because they had all this information, they were able to what we call in epidemiology, control for those confounding variables. So in a statistical way, they were able to make up a process to say, well, what was the most important thing that led to these boys being healthier, being happier, and living the longest? And what they found out is no surprise, it was relationships. Early in life, it's important to have multiple contacts. Also later in life, it's important to have multiple contacts and close relationships. In midlife, it's important to at least have one very close relationship. It can be a spouse, but it doesn't have to be a spouse, a friend, someone we can confide in, someone we can intimately share our emotions and feel heard and feel valued.
Well, that's really powerful. You know, and the beauty of that is that's something that we can all do.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And Diana, what are some resources people can go to learn more?
So a couple of my favorite resources are, number one is the Greater Good Science Center. They offer a lot of reviews of science, and the articles are written in a fairly easy manner. And they offer a lot of tips. You can go on that website and research various topics, like some of the topics we've just talked about today, like gratitude. And they also have a related site. It's called the Greater Good in Action. That's lovely because they give you in half a page, they'll give you the step-by-step process to practice one of these positive psychology-based activities. So they tell you exactly how to do it in very easy to understand steps. Also, because I did talk about the signature strengths, and I promised to give you that resource. So if you're interested in that and you want to know what your strengths are and you're not sure, certainly a lot of us probably already, if we sat down and thought about it, we have a sense of what our strengths are. But if you want to do a survey, and this is at no cost, it's at viacharacter.org. So it's the VIA Strength Finder, and even if you just Google the VIA Strength Finder, it'll come up. We're also working with the American College of Lifestyle Medicine and the International Positive Psychology Association to develop all kinds of resources. The first one out the gate has been for health professionals, Roots of Positive Change, which has been for how doctors and other health professionals and health coaches can use positive psychology with patients. But we're soon going to have one for patients as well. And we've also started a podcast series that's delving into each of these positive psychology activities in much more detail. This first one is focused on positive psychology support for health professionals during a pandemic, but there are more to come. And just if you're looking for just general inspiration and support and links to articles, you can also follow Health Type on Facebook and at Health Type on Twitter. A lot of that information originated from my interest in using our personality strengths to boost our success in life as well as our positive emotions. And you'll be able to get announcements for some of the new podcasts and new materials that are coming out. I'm just very fortunate to work with a large group of people in several organizations that are passionate about this, just like I am, and we're all dividing and conquering and hoping to make all this information as widely available as possible and easy to understand, easy to use. And that's why I'm so happy to have had this opportunity to talk on this podcast and get this message out.
Oh, those are great resources. Thank you for sharing that. And I've read your book, Roots of Positive Change, and I just thought it was fabulous. It really covered the topic in such a broad way and provided resources. So it's a great book for anyone interested. Leanna, with the time we have left, is there anything you want to add that we haven't had a chance to talk about?
I think the main piece that I would like people to come away with is that everything we're talking about is truly at your fingertips, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what stage you're in, no matter how overwhelmed you may feel, that this is relevant to you, or you may be doing just fine, which is great too, if you're feeling healthy and happy. Again, these kinds of tips that we've been talking about can help you be even better, flourish more, and be your best self, so that this is applicable to everybody and easy to do and doesn't take a lot of time and can really make a big difference in your life.
Wow, Leanna, and I know you've made a big difference in so many people's lives with all the work that you've done, you know, through the various organizations and through the resources you've created and have been able to share with so many people. So thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. Take care.
Thanks.
The Whole Health Cure is brought to you by Emory Lifestyle Medicine and Wellness. For more information about wellness assessments, classes, and other resources, please visit our website, emoryhealthcare.org/livewell. This material is copyrighted by Emory University.